Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
You have no brain in that body. I don't know how you got a biology degree, darling. I hope somebody holds you down and rapes you.
Wow. Very tolerant, guys. You're wishing rape on me.
A confrontation between a abortion supporter and an advocate for the unborn that is sadly more and more typical nowadays. It's almost as though support for abortion is inducing a kind of rage in people, even in young people, that we have never seen before. It was not that long ago, 5-10 years ago, when the most adamant supporters of abortion were speaking of it in terms of a necessary evil, safe, legal, rare. You don't make things rare that are good. You make things rare that are bad. So what has happened? Why do we see such extreme reactions, not only from the abortion industry, but from its many casual supporters, a hostility not only toward pro-lifers, but toward the unborn themselves? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, October the 2nd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our conversation with Glenn Stanton on extreme reactions of abortion activists, we'll get a review of the movie Downton Abbey from Pastor Ted Geese, and then we'll look forward to Sunday morning, according to the 3-year lectionary, with Dr. Carl Fikencher talking about the Apostles' plea to Jesus, increase our faith. Glenn Stanton is a regular guest. He's Director of Family Formation Studies for Focus on the Family, author of several books, including his latest, The Myth of the Dying Church, and a recent column for The Federalist titled Abortion Supporters Wish Rape on Pro-Lifers, Cut Out Beating Hearts, Practice on Papayas. Glenn, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, thank you, Todd. It's good to be with you.
You watch this very carefully and have for decades. How do you explain the more recent over-the-top reactions of the advocates for abortion?
Well, that's the point of the story, Todd, which you guys are so good at drilling into. You can explain it. I want to use the term madness or, you know, disassociative in a psychological way, but, you know, I don't want to over-psychologize it. The abortion industry and its advocates are now saying, and this is what compelled me to write this piece, just the most insane things, which show them to be just completely unhinged. And again, I don't mean that as kind of a cut at them. It's just a demonstrable fact. You can't understand why seemingly normal, rational, stable people would say and do and admit the things that the abortion industrial complex, as I call them, is doing right now.
Give us some examples within the bounds of propriety. Some of these things really even shouldn't be discussed, period. The kind of the sheer evil that's work here. But give us some examples of what we're talking about.
Well, I mean, the one thing which is kind of the center of the article is an article that was online in a somewhat mainstream kind of leftist online publication entitled, I Learned How to Do an Abortion on a Papaya. And so, of course, I'm, you know, going through my news feed and that gets my attention. What it is, an abortionist in New York, she has these kind of regular parties, if you will, where people come over to her place and they learn how to do an abortion, a real abortion, on a papaya. I mean, they insert the suction tube up into the bottom of the papaya because it looks like a cervix, and they literally suck the seeds right out and they see them go through the tube. And the people, the woman running this, and again, she's an abortionist. She's a quote-unquote medical professional. The article says, she goes, oh my goodness, this is a really effing good one. And she is like just excited. And she says, oh my goodness, it's so satisfying to pull those contents out of the papaya and see them go through the tube. You know, like you said, they no longer see this as a necessary evil. This is something essentially to high-five each other about. I mean, it is, Todd, it's ghoulish. It's just ghoulish.
And as I've noted as well, their enthusiasm for abortion itself, for the very act of abortion, is growing at the same time their hostility toward those who would even question abortion as a right, much less a good, as well. What are some examples of that?
Well, Todd, I mean, in this article, this doctor, this abortionist, she is 38 weeks pregnant at the time, at the evening of this party that the reporter is writing about. And she says, quote, "It's even more satisfying when it's a real abortion." She uses the words "more satisfying." The thing, Todd, and we can kind of, as Christians, throw out certain terms. And, you know, Saturday Night Live made fun of it way, way, way back when with the church lady of, you know, well, it was Satan. This, I mean, you just have to say it. This is just pure evil. Satan is the one who comes to kill, destroy, and steal. Kill and destroy. He is the author of this kind of stuff. Christ is the life giver. And when we see this celebration, I mean, almost like you would hear from a serial murderer. And again, this is dramatic language, but this is what we're seeing bold-faced from the abortion industry today. It's just a callous, cold celebration of what it means to destroy life. And again, these people are becoming increasingly unhinged.
One of the conclusions that I have drawn, especially given some of the things we hear from abortionists themselves, the stories that have come out, Kermit Gosnell, and then the case in Indiana, where an abortionist hoarded the remains of over 2,000 aborted babies at his home. One of the things that I've concluded, and I'm no forensic specialist, I'm not a psychologist, but the layperson's view for me is that I think the abortion industry tends to attract psychopaths.
See, and Todd, that's it. I mean, like, that sounds such over-the-top language, but it's the only thing you can describe. I mean, when you say that, those abortionists and the abortionists that we have found who collect those things, it sounds like Jeffrey Dahmer and, you know, things like that, that he consumed these dead bodies. The abortion industry is consuming these dead bodies by harvesting their hearts alive so that they can test out medical devices on these little hearts. And professionals say, if you're going to test out these devices, these, you know, medical devices, if you will, you need a beating heart. So it's very clear that the abortion industry is harvesting these beating hearts from babies. Now, back in the days of the early pro-life movement, they would go, oh my goodness, there's no beating heart there. This is not a baby. Now, I mean, they full-on understand what they're doing, and like a Nazi-esque kind of ghoulish experimentation, this is what the abortion industry is doing, harvesting these hearts, fully beating, for medical purposes and making money off of it. I mean, it's, again, these are not regular, healthy people.
So how do you respond to someone who says, well, desperate times call for desperate measures, and there are obviously some bad actors and some kooks and some extremists in the pro-abortion movement, but generally speaking, the reaction is coming and is justified because someone is trying to overturn Roe v. Wade?
Well, and it's interesting because we may tend to say this, yeah, these are just goofy, wacky people. But no, Planned Parenthood themselves and other organizations, I mean, this hashtag Shout Your Abortion, which is a mainstream pro-abortion movement to say, talk about how wonderful your abortion is, celebrate it. And that's the thing, is these people see that Roe v. Wade is on a collision course, if you will, with what's happening with the court, and they are totally freaked out that they are going to lose not just that right, but the sacrament, if you will, to use our language within the church, the sacrament of the abortion process. And they are just simply unglued. It's, and again, I don't mean to be light here, but it's like a teenager when you put them on restriction or take the car away, and they just go in their room and start throwing stuff around in a tantrum. That is exactly what we are seeing from the abortion industry. And in the article, in the Federalist, the piece that I wrote, example after example after example of that.
I talked several years ago with the Dr. Hadley Arkus. He's author of the Born Alive Infants Protection Act and an advocate for the unborn. He had found at the time among university students he was speaking with the willingness to admit that abortion is murder. It does take an innocent life, but it's justifiable murder. And he predicted that that would become a new approach of those who advocate for abortion. Have you seen it?
You know what? He was absolutely right. And I remember when he said that. And, you know, like you said in the intro, you know, Bill Clinton, one of the strongest advocates, you know, said abortion should be legal, safe, and rare. And then, you know, the recent president who was just recently fired by Planned Parenthood, she tried to take that same approach, this is a necessary evil. And they tossed her aside immediately because the temperature in the pro-abortion movement is, no, this is not a regretful thing. This is a thing to celebrate. This is a thing to hold up. This is a thing that a good society needs and that women need to be fully independent. It's interesting. I was on a panel or saw a panel at a journalist conference, and there were two pro-abortion women, and they just kept on and on talking about how abortion was a woman's best friend. I mean, in so many words. And I went up and talked to both of them afterwards, and I said, what do you do with the issue that those Americans who oppose abortion, half of them are women? And Todd, it was amazing what they said. They looked at me with a straight face, and they said, well, many of those women simply do what their husbands tell them to do, and that they have internalized society's own misogyny. And I said, that is a misogynistic statement, that women are too dumb if they're pro-life to realize. And again, I mean, you're seeing this person, they're apparently rational individuals saying things that are so stupid because they can't imagine that women themselves would not see abortion as a good, healthy, positive thing.
The other aspect of this that I find both encouraging and disturbing at the same time, and I wonder what your thoughts are, Glenn, as much as we see young people flocking toward the pro-life movement, we also see young people engaged in the extreme reaction in advocating for abortion. What are your thoughts there?
Well, and it's interesting. I mean, you know, as a partisan in this issue and a serious one, you kind of at least wish your opponents had reasonable arguments, you know, that you could say, well, as far as it goes, that's a good point. But these people just scream at you. And in this article, there is an example right at the beginning where this young pro-life woman is talking to these pro-abortion women. And the pro-abortion girl, who's just completely unhinged, says, I hope somebody holds you down and rapes you. I mean, these are not normal people. These are not regular people. And it's so interesting. I was thinking today, I mean, you see that video and you ask anybody, which of these young women would you want to babysit your kids? You know, one is unhinged, one's very polite, very thoughtful, and the thoughtful, polite one is the pro-life woman. And so we see this time and time and time again. We saw that in the Women's March right after President Trump's inauguration. These people were angry. They were mean. They were destructive. And, you know, like, okay, these are not people anybody really wants to hang out with. Now, it's one thing, like, okay, you know what, oppose Trump. Be concerned about his apologies if they don't agree with what you think are right. But to become so unhinged, again, like I said, it's like the teenager going in their room and just throwing stuff around, having an absolute unhinged fit. That's what we're seeing in the women's movement, and it's what we're seeing in the pro-abortion movement.
Politically, and this is kind of a cynical approach, though, Glenn, is it a moment which the pro-life movement ought to take advantage of, the more unhinged the advocates for abortion become, both in the industry and in kind of the popular support for it, the more principled and calm the pro-life advocates for the unborn should be?
You know what? Absolutely. The pro-life movement should exploit, and I use that word intentionally, this kind of phase that the pro-abortion industry is all about. I mean, I say in the article, the pro-abortion people want to get their message out. Pro-life people should help them do that, because it's the kind of thing that mainstream Americans need to see. And it's exactly why I wrote this article, is to say, folks, you think that these people are defending, quote unquote, a woman's right and you know, things like this, and they're rational and they're compassionate. No, look at what these people actually do, and it's not hard to find it. And they are not just the wingnuts, if you will. These are the leaders of the movement calling for these kinds of things. So, yes, I mean, in a sense, if the pro-abortion group says, can you help us get our message out? You know what? We would be glad to. Here's a microphone. Just keep talking, because it makes our point. And, you know, we'll pay the dime for your airtime. And I'm really quite serious, because they can't just help themselves. They're so tone deaf to where, you know, real America is. And like you said, it's one of the reasons why so many young people are becoming pro-life, because they're seeing this kind of stuff.
Glenn Stanton is Director of Family Formation Studies for Focus on the Family, author of several books, including his latest, The Myth of the Dying Church, and a recent column for The Federalist titled Abortion Supporters Wish Rape on Pro-Lifers, Cut Out Beating Hearts Practice on Papayas. You can read it and find out more about The Myth of the Dying Church under the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Glenn, thank you very much.
Hey, sure, Todd. It's always good to be with you.
When we come back, we're going to be talking with Pastor Ted Geese, getting a review of the movie Downton Abbey. What made Downton Abbey a popular TV series all across the board? And why do some TV series work on the big screen and others don't? Stay tuned.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
You're invited to Oktoberfest featuring the Waterloo German Band Friday night, October 18th at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. Oktoberfest features a traditional German buffet dinner, silent and oral auctions, and of course, beer. Tickets are $15. Attendance is limited to 200. Proceeds benefit St. Paul Lutheran School, the only classical Lutheran school in Greater St. Louis. Learn more and purchase tickets at school.stpaulhamel.org. Oktoberfest is sponsored in part by Seavers Equipment, Lutheran Church Extension Fund, Ernst Heating and Cooling, Lutheran Public Radio, St. Paul's Ladies' Aid, Chick-fil-A, and Baker Construction. Oktoberfest, Friday night, October 18th at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. school.stpaulhamel.org.